Father God, as we open your word this evening, may you open the eyes of our hearts that we may know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance, and the surpassing greatness of your power towards us in your Son, Christ Jesus. And we pray this in his holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, our scripture text this evening is from the letter to the Ephesians by the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. It's been a while since we've been in the letter to the Ephesians. It's good to jump back in there. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. People of God, this is God's very word. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And there ends the reading of God's word this evening. So this evening we're returning to the letter to the Ephesians. We've come a long way on our journey, haven't we? I would say tonight we're on the top of the mountain. We've been climbing this mountain, this letter to the Ephesians, and finally we made it to the top. We've made it to the point where Paul is from now on, after this section of text, going to tell us how to live the Christian life. So far, the Apostle Paul has been telling us how great our God is, what he's done for us in his Son. We remember, before we were Christians, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Once Gentiles in the flesh, we were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? That's not where we want to be. But then Paul gave us the good news. And we heard two words that every time we hear them, we should tear up, knowing where we've been. Those two words were, but God. We were once all those things I just read, but not anymore if you're in Christ. God had a different plan for his people. But God, rich in mercy, loved us with an everlasting love. And we need to remember this idea this evening, because it'll have a huge impact, not only on our lives today, not only on those around us, but most importantly, it'll have an impact on how the world sees the church. One thing that'll jump out of our text this evening is that the culture of the world hasn't changed much from the first century. If we think about it, this book was written probably 35, 36 AD. What year is it today? 2019? But the culture of the world hasn't changed that much. There'll be 2 points for our sermon this evening. If you take notes, 2 points. Sorry, there's not three. There's two. The first is, don't live like unbelievers. Pretty straightforward. The second is, live what you learned. So don't live like unbelievers, and then live what you learned. Because, beloved, many may think they are living the Christian life, But sadly, they're still living in the life of the past. And it's time to live out our new identity in Christ. And that's what Paul is going to tell us about this evening. So the first thing we see in our text this evening, going through the letter of Ephesians, Paul shifts his tone now. It's more serious. It's more earnest. He wants you to hear what he's about to say. And he starts off verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. So everything that's gone on before this, the whole letter is coming to this point, this peak of this mountain. Paul is serious enough that he wants to tell you, I testify in the Lord on this. Meaning that he is using the authority given to him by Christ Jesus himself as an apostle. He wants you to hear this. He wants you to make a choice. We will not be able to go any further in the letter to the Ephesians if we don't make the choice here. And with this decision, the whole letter is going to shape us to be more like Jesus, which is what we're supposed to be. It's who we're supposed to be. So what does he say? That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. That may not seem like a big thing, right? You're like, well, that's of course. But no, he's serious here. This is actually a calling of our life. No longer walk like the Gentiles walk. You know, Paul uses the word walk here, and it's a synonym for a life lived. So it could read, you should no longer live as the Gentiles live. And this isn't the first time throughout this letter Paul's used this theme, right? Walk. The first time he used it was in chapter 2. He said, you who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. We once lived in the course of this world. Next, he said that we were a new creation in Christ. At the end of chapter 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should what? Walk in them. We should live in these works. And at the beginning of chapter 4, he beseeched us to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. To live worthy of this calling. It's a key in this whole letter. It's the theme throughout. That we need to live worthy of which we were called. Called out of the world. Now live like it. Living a life worthy. You're like, yes, let me get this. But it's so important that Paul has to like put his hand on the Bible and raise his hand. And say, I testify in the Lord. Please listen to this. You should no longer walk as Gentiles. Why? Because we're not Gentiles anymore. Remember, we were Gentiles, but now we're not. Before Christ, there were two types of people in the world. There was the Jew and the Gentile. The Jew and the nations. But no longer, since Christ has come, there's no longer Jew and Gentile. There's also another category. There's the church. Jew, Gentile, and church. And if you were in the church, whether Jew or Gentile, we're one people in God now. And because of this, you are commanded no longer to live like the Gentiles live. You're no longer to live as an unbeliever. You know, Paul's hammering this point so seriously. He wants them to break away from the world. Not live in like in a temple in the desert somewhere. But the system. He wants us to completely break away from that system of the world. Break away from that former life. Break away from the former lusts. The sinful life. And it's not optional, beloved. That's how serious Paul is this evening. One thing I'm not saying is that you need to live this life before you come to Christ. So if anybody's sitting in here this evening and you're on the fence and you're listening to this for the first time, you don't need to clean your life up to come to Christ. No, come. Then repent and believe. No, I have a cousin who grew up in a Baptist church, but he left and walked in the world. And he always tells me, he always says, James, I'm not ready to clean my life up to go to church. You don't have to. Just come and hear the gospel, I tell him. But there's so many people out there that'll say that to you. Oh, I like my life. I like the parties that I go to. I don't want to clean that up to go to church. No. You know, there's an old illustration that a fisherman once told me. He said, you don't clean the fish until after you catch them. Right? You don't clean the fish until after you catch them. But if you are in Christ, then don't live like an unbeliever. Notice how I didn't say don't be a sinner. Because as long as we're on this side of glory, we're going to struggle with sin. That's a given. But don't live like the world. You might be thinking, okay, Pastor, I will slow down. We know all this. But I know you know this. But I want us to remember Paul's original audience here. The church in Ephesus. Former Gentiles. Still living in a Gentile context. So their surroundings haven't changed. But they have. And he had to keep reminding them to leave that life. Now think about us today. 21st century. We live in a culture very similar to the first century. Especially in America. We live in a hostile culture that cannot stand our values. They just can't. They can't stand the Jesus of the Bible. Right? They like the Jesus of pop culture. Right? They like the Jesus who's their homeboy. They like the laughing Jesus who will come alongside and be their best friend. The Jesus who's the great moral teacher. They love that Jesus. But they can't stand the true Jesus of the Bible. They can't stand the Jesus who said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. They can't stand that Jesus. They can't stand the Jesus who's the only way. So just as to the letter in the Ephesians, just as at that time, Paul is telling us the key is to not live like the world. And now he'll tell us how we are different. How we are different from the unbeliever. So at the end of verse 17, he says that they live in the futility of their minds. Meaning that they think different than we do. They look and see what's going on differently and process it differently than those in the church. Those who have been redeemed. Let's continue to verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. You know, three things stand out for me here. The first is that the Apostle Paul is giving us a 2-verse summary of Romans chapter 1. Have anybody caught that? He sums up Romans chapter 1 here. Here in Ephesians, we have the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened. But in Romans chapter 1, Paul writes this, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You could take heart and understanding, and it's the same words of Paul. It's interchangeable. Paul is telling both churches here, the church to the Romans and the church to the Ephesians. And he's saying, the thinking of the unregenerate mind is darkened. They're living in the futility of their mind. Think of that word, futility. We could translate it uselessness or worthlessness or emptiness. Or here's one, meaninglessness. And we've heard that word. Meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless. In both texts, their thoughts are futile, meaningless. One pastor writes this, the Gentile way of life is meaningless because the Gentiles have no light to give them life and guidance. They are intellectually blacked out. That's the world. The next thing that stands out is being alienated from the life of God. These people are still without God, still without hope. Remember, that used to be us when we were Gentiles, but that's not us anymore. But they're stuck in that life. Paul tells us they, because of the ignorance that is in them, because the blindness of their heart. This is something they do to themselves, beloved. They've heard the call, but they choose to stay in that life. They can't see the wrongs that they're doing, even if they tried. I know we don't want to think about this, but think about abortion. It breaks our heart just to even hear the word. We should hate that word. But you can show someone who thinks abortion's okay, you can show them a picture of the baby in the womb, but they can't see that it's murder. Something we would think is so obvious. You could see it. There's a baby in there. But because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, they don't see it. They don't. The third thing that stands out in verse 19, who being past feeling. And I want to stop right there. Past feeling. Because I believe that's translated too light of a word. It should be way stronger. It's one of those heavy words that hits you. The word Paul uses there could be translated callous or even dead to feeling. Who being dead to feeling. It's the only time in the whole New Testament that Paul even uses that word. Paul is telling us that they lose capacity to feel shame, to be embarrassed. You know, it reminds me of Isaiah chapter 5. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if it was a cart rope with a cart rope. Or further in the chapter, he writes this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their sight. And if that doesn't describe today, I don't know what does. Back to verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So when they lose the ability to feel shame and embarrassment, they give themselves up to terrible sin. Lewdness is a sexual sin. They can't help it. It turns into a habit. They make a practice out of a lifestyle and they can't help it. And Paul tells us that they do this with greediness. They're never satisfied. They continually want more. You know, Paul wrote this to the Romans as well, didn't he? Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Or he says this again. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. And he says this later. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. He's showing us the world. But there's a difference in our text than the Romans. In the letter to the Ephesians, he says they gave themselves up. But to the Romans, he said God gave them up. Saying this way of life was their choice to the Ephesians. They gave themselves over to it. And we've seen this before, haven't we? With a Bible character. Where God gives them over, but they give themselves over. The Bible talks about this about Pharaoh in Exodus, doesn't it? Exodus chapter 4. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. And then just a few verses later, he says, But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord has said. So at the same time, there's self-judgment, but also there's divine judgment. It's the plight of the world. And Paul is telling us this evening, don't live like unbelievers. Live worthy of your call. You know, if you read chapter or verse 17 really fast, just reading through it, you might miss what Paul is saying. He's saying you should no longer live this life. No longer. Meaning you once did. You need to break away from the world. It's one of the hardest things we can do. Because we love the world. We love the things that it has. Right? The world has everything we want. It's so hard. But Paul had to remind them over and over again, you need to leave that system. You know, Paul wrote this to another group of Christians living in a very pagan culture, to the Corinthians. This is what he wrote to the Corinthians. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He says, and such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Such were some of you. We've all lived in the world. We've all sinned horribly. Some were such of you, but now you're not them anymore. We need to leave that life behind. That's what Paul's telling us this evening. That's not our life to live anymore. And that leads us to our second point this evening. Live what you learned. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. It's an easier way to say that. That's kind of hard to say there. But he said, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Easier way to understand the sentence. The Apostle Paul now gives the contrast to the Ephesians. From their current lives to where they've come. To the life that they've abandoned. Right? They've abandoned that life. And I pray that we've abandoned the world as well. And I love how it doesn't say, but you have not so learned about Christ. That word about isn't there. Because we didn't just learn about Christ. No, we learned Christ. This is what Charles Hodge wrote. This does not mean merely to learn his doctrines, but to attain the knowledge of Christ as the Son of God. God in our nature, the Holy One of God, the Savior from sin, to whom is holiness and life. That's what we learned. We didn't learn about it. We became it. You know, verse 21 might be confusing as well. And Paul's telling them, if indeed you have learned Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Christ, you might hear it and say, well, if indeed you learned, if you heard, if you were listening. But that's not what Paul's saying here. It's more of strong emphasis. He's not assuming that they heard. He knows that they heard. He says, most surely you have heard and been taught these things. You know. They have heard Christ. They were taught by Him. They have the truth of Christ in them. And the question is, do we have the truth of Christ in us? Have we learned Christ? Have we been taught by Him? Do we have the strength to leave the world? The system of the world. We don't want to be those people who like are monks in the middle of the desert. No, that's not what he's saying. But the culture of the world will bring you down. The culture of the world will send you to hell. You do not want that. The truth that they heard about and learned about. It's the truth of Christ. It's the death and resurrection of Christ. It's the gospel, beloved. The good news. Listen to this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Who's the truth there? It's Jesus. You shall know Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. Now, what do they do with this knowledge that they've heard, that they've learned? Well, verse 22 gives us a list of three things that you put off concerning the former conduct: the old man which grows corrupt according to this deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So the first thing, we need to put off the old man. The second is we need to renew the spirit of our minds. And third, we need to put on the new man. So let's look at each one of these briefly. Putting off the old man. Taking off this old life that we've been carrying around like a garment. That's the idea what Paul's getting at. Putting off the old man is like taking off this cloak that we've been wearing. It's getting old, full of holes. It's a metaphor that was very common in the first century. Your clothing would represent who you are. Think about it. In the first century, if you saw somebody walking around in purple and a crown, they'd be a king or a queen. If they were walking around in a uniform, they'd most likely be a soldier. Right. So clothing meant a lot. And Paul says we need to take off that old man clothes and get rid of it. Just throw it away. Because one thing I really want to get across to us is we can't fix the old man. We can't fix him. You can't improve on him. You can't reform the old man. He has to die. We have to throw him away. Paul writes in verse 22 that the old man grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. If you hold on to that old man, it grows corrupt. It gets worse as you live life. It doesn't get better. You need to cut it off and get rid of it. Next, we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Remember what I said earlier about how the world thinks. Their minds are darkened. They can't see the truth. It can be looking at them right in the face. Like, you've ever been in a super dark room and you put your hand up and you can't see your hand? That's how the world sees the truth. They're just blind to it. Our minds are being renewed and continuing to be renewed daily. That's part of the Christian life, beloved. You know, we've all heard this before, Romans 12, right? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you might be thinking, well, how do we get our minds renewed? I want that. That sounds like a good thing. You know how you get your mind renewed? By what you're doing right now. Sitting in church. Listening to the word preached. Like what you did this morning in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Those are ways to renew your mind. The means of grace. Prayer. Praying to the Lord. Not just really quickly, but literally praying to God. He hears you. He's listening. And that's not the only way we can renew our minds. Think about being in fellowship with other believers. And reading your Bibles daily. And not only reading your Bibles, but studying the Word of God. You see, these are things that the Spirit uses to renew our minds, to make us more like His Son Jesus. That's what we need to be. Making us think different. So when we do see horrible things, it hurts us inside. You know, when I was younger, I used to be able to watch movies that were just crazy. But now if I watch movies, I'm like, whoa, I can't handle it anymore. It like puts me off. I'm just like, whoa, I can't not watch this anymore. And that's how the Spirit works. As we grow in Christ, as we grow in this life, you just can't handle the stuff you handled in the world anymore. Because it's not who we are anymore. We're no longer in that lifestyle. We're living what we learned. Now, maybe you've heard this one before. Blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he will be filled. That's what we need to do. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, renewing our minds. And finally, Paul tells us that we've put on the new man. Verse 24. And that you've put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Beloved, we are a new creation. The new man not only flees from sin, but it pursues righteousness. It pursues things that are pure and true. All right, that's this new man we've put on. We've taken off the old dirty garment and we've put on Christ, His righteousness. It's given us the ability to look at things that are pure and true, to pursue those things, to be more like Him as we live this life. So, beloved, tonight we've been brought to this peak of this mountain. And Paul has told us, don't live like unbelievers. Don't live in that system anymore. Because it'll wreck you. You'll be done. That's not you anymore, beloved. It isn't. If you are in Christ, that is not you. But He has to tell us over and over again to leave that life because it's so hard and it's always trying to pull you back in. We don't want to think like the world thinks. We don't want to see things like the world sees. The world is a messed up place. You know, it's funny. The world gets its ethics from like singers and actors and talk show hosts. That's not where we want to get our ethics. We want to get our ethics from the Word of God. So Paul says, live what you've learned. Live what you've learned. The reality is that you are in Christ. You are a new creation. You have took off the old man. You're having your minds renewed in the Spirit. Surely, we have something better to offer the world. Surely when you leave these doors this evening, you can offer the world something better than they have. You can offer them Jesus, the Savior, the one who is perfect, who came down into this world, this fallen world, and still lived a perfect life because we couldn't do it. Went to the cross to pay a price that we couldn't pay. And rose on the third day so that we could be with Him for eternity. So, beloved, that's what we need to be. We need to go out there, get away from this world, this system, and be more like Christ. It's time to live out our new identity. Because that's who we're going to be one day. Let's pray. Father God, it's hard to hear these words. The allure of the world is so strong. But You have told us, don't live like unbelievers. I didn't send My Son just so You can stay in the world. We heard Your word tonight, Lord. We pray, Lord, that Your Spirit makes it come alive in our hearts. That we could take off the old man, have our minds renewed, put on the new man, and tell this dying world about Your Son. Because that's the only thing that's going to save them. Give us boldness this week, Lord, to tell people about You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.